Now, stand by for an extraordinary story. This is an extraordinary 20-odd minutes of radio. Sometimes in life, remarkable things come from devastating events. In November last year, Philip Anderson had to bury his mum, Bridget, and his wife, Mary, within days of each other after they both lost their battles with cancer. Mary was just 40 years of age and had been diagnosed with brain cancer in 2002. Many would crumble in the face of such grief, but Philip has decided to take on a remarkable challenge in order to keep his wife's memory alive. He's running a marathon every single week this year and hopes to complete 52 marathons by the end of 2015. Extraordinary. Our reporter Nicola Weir went to meet Philip and his 10-year-old son Peter at their home in Coal Island. And a warning, some of you might find this interview upsetting.
I met Mary and on the 26th of April 1987. We were out one night in the Elk in Tunbridge, and it was actually Mary's sister's 21st birthday, and she was along with a group of girls along with a group of lads, and we just got talking, and I seen Mary just standing in the background. She was a very quiet sort of person, and she was in the background and she caught me eye, so I just thought, I'll have a wee word with her here, you know, just to see if she, first of all, just to talk to, like, and...
Or see it in the country, as we say, see if you clicked.
See if it clicked, and sort of let it know to her that I'd be heading out the following night somewhere, and she would be there, so lo and behold, she was there the following night, so things just started to progress from there, Nicola, you know.
And when did you get married?
Got married on the 18th of September 2000. So we did, so nice sunny Monday morning, a very quiet wedding. That's just the way Mary wanted it. She showed off something that was just very shy. Always, as I say, in the background. So got married, and shortly after we got married, we got a bit of bad news that she was going to find it difficult to have children. And she took this news very, very badly, but she said to me that day that she would leave it in God's hand, and whatever God had lined up for us, that would be what would be, would be. And a year after that, she was suffering these bad headaches, and so we decided to go and get them investigated, and she went for a scan and got the call to the Royal, to the neurosurgical end, and she was diagnosed with brain tumours. And that day that she was diagnosed, she didn't take that news that badly. You know, it wasn't... She took it less badly than the day she was told about the children, because, as I say, the children was the most important thing to her. And again, she said, well, we'll just have to deal with this, you know. And she was put forward for surgery, and she went through the surgery, and she suffered a stroke during the surgery, and I was told that day that she may not make it through that night, but Mary the Mary, she pulled through, and she had learned to walk and talk again. And but while she was in the hospital and intensive care, that's where we had spent our second wedding anniversary. But she made a promise to me at that stage, and she got her speech back, that she would love to read at Mass. So, and that would be her gift back to God if she got her speech back. So, Mary got home, and Mary then Mary, she got herself back on her feet again without complaint, never said a bad word about anything. Got her speech back, and slowly but surely got her strength back, and was geared towards getting a wish to come through of reading at Mass. Whenever on the 24th of December 2003, I landed home from work, and I met Mary and her mother at the front door, and she said to me, "You're not going to believe this." I said, "What's that?" She said, I'm pregnant, just out of the blue. I'm pregnant, and that was on the 24th of December. And 8 months later, Peter came along on the 24th of August. But now, during that pregnancy, Mary suffered a lot. should have been advised that the tumours were probably going to get bigger and that they were probably going to spread more because of the hormonal changes during the pregnancy. And
but the pregnancy was a source of great joy to her, and she was determined to go through.
And not only that, Nicola, Mary refused all medication during that 8 months. She refused all the scans that were being offered to her because she didn't want anything to affect the child. The child was the most important thing to her. And on the 24th of August, Peter came along, which turned out to be the same day as his granddad's birthday as well. So that's whenever
Peter came. It was meant to be, really.
It was meant to be, yeah. And whenever Peter was ready for school, she decided that she would try to get back on the road again and start driving. And when she did do, she got back on the road again, and so that she was able to take Peter to school and collect him from school. But unfortunately, the tumours then had started to have a bigger impact on her life.
When did that start to become apparent with Mary and your...
Nicola, probably about 5 years ago. Just out of the blue one morning, I was speaking to her and she said to me, "I can't hear you." And then I started like to really talk out loud. I said, "I still can't hear you." And it just was like that she just lost her hearing. But as I said, Mary, with the attitude that she had, that wasn't like a big deal to her. And she said to me, "Look, sure, you've got a pen there, you've got a notepad. Should just write down what you want to say." And sure, like, "I can still see, so it doesn't matter with the hearing. I've still got the eyes, so I can see what you're writing down." So she always found a way around things. There was never, nothing ever seemed to be a problem to her. And as over this past 5 years went, I just was more in awe of her, you know, because I could see somebody whose health was declining. The tumours were having more of an impact on her life, but not once did she ever get up and say that she was ill or felt sick or was in pain. She just got up. She wanted to be a mother to Peter. She wanted to be a wife to me. She wanted life to be as normal as possible. And as I said earlier, during all of that, she was still doing all these wee private things for people. And those people never knew that she was ill herself. She never ever told. She just got on with things.
When did Mary start to deteriorate?
It was March 2 years ago, Nicola. I arrived home from work and she was lying on the sofa here, and which was unusual. And because she'd lost her hearing, she'd started not going out as much, and she thought that she would be in danger on the road by not having her hearing, you know. And it was the evening that Peter was to make his first confession, and she said to me, "Look, I'm not going to be able to go. You're going to have to take him to his first confession." And her mother said, "Look, I'll come up and I'll sit with her. Go you on ahead." And as soon as I got in and just had sat down, I got the message, "Come quickly." And I raced back up the road and I found Mary lying on the floor. She took a seizure, and this was the first seizure she took. But phoned the ambulance and they got her lifted and rushed to the hospital and got her in and they scanned and said, you know, she may not make it through the night. But so I had to call her parents. So I sat with her during the night, but Mary, in the morning she opened her eyes again. And she wondered what all the fuss was about, you know. So she, 4 or 5 days later, she got home again, but the seizures had a serious impact on her mobility. So she was just finding it more difficult to walk. But again, wouldn't get her down. She still insisted on going up the stairs to get Peter up in the morning to say his prayers with him. She always went upstairs at night to say his prayers with him. So nothing ever stopped her from doing the things that were important to her, even though she shouldn't have been doing it, you know. But 3 months after that, she took another batch of seizures. And again, given the bad news that she may not survive this, but she did. And 3 months after that, she took another batch of seizures, but these were quite severe in that she was in seizure for 3 or 4 days afterwards. And she wasn't able to walk, and she remained in hospital for over 3 weeks. But during that 3 week period, the hospital staff were assessing her and they said, look, Marie can't go home because she's not going to walk again. We're going to have to assess her home. We're going to have to see what needs that she has before she gets discharged. And I was keeping saying to them, you know, I know Mary better than you. You know, well, whenever Mary gets home, she'll be back on her feet again. And they said, definitely not this time. Within 3 days of getting home, she was on her feet. But in the intervening period, my mum was diagnosed with cancer, and unfortunately it was just caught too late, and she wasn't offered any further treatment. My mum would have said that she had a good life and that she had seen all her children grow up and all get married and everybody was happy and that she was content with herself. So mum had accepted what was ahead of her. In the same way, Mary had accepted what was ahead of her. And during that year, Mary, thank God, had no more seizures. She was seizure-free for almost a year. And I suppose I had got complacent and started to think she'd beat this, you know, because she was up every morning. She was knocking about here. Her walking was very poor, but she still managed to get about. She always wanted to be up to make breakfast for myself and Peter. She was always fussing around us, even though it should have been the other way around, you know. But she wanted to be, as I said, a wife and a mother, and nothing was ever going to stop her from being that. Tumours and stuff like that were never mentioned because Mary wanted life to be as normal for Peter as possible. So she was not complaining about illness. I never heard her ever say the words, why me? That was not part of her vocabulary. She'd never, ever used those words, you know. So, but Mum lost consciousness. It would have been probably the 1st of November of 2014. And on the 2nd of November, Mary went into seizure and Mary was rushed to hospital on the 2nd, and she came round and was discharged on the 3rd of November, and Mum died on the 4th of November and passed away, and I was with her whenever that happened. But Mary was very ill, and whenever she got home from the hospital, and so on the Thursday, just after my mum had died, I had the doctor out, and the doctor insisted that Mary needed to be readmitted to the hospital because she had been very, very ill. And on the Friday, my mum's funeral happened on the Friday, and from that Friday evening to Sunday night, I sat with Mary and thought, you know, this is just another seizure and she'll come around out of this. And you know, but she took a seizure that night, and I was I had a race to the hospital, and they said to me, well, bad news here, I don't think she's going to recover in this one. And so I got her family, her mother and father down, and she opened her eyes the next morning, and her last words to me were, and me not knowing they were going to be her last words, were just to make sure that Peter got caught up with his homework. That was her last word. That was just helped Mary up. That's what was important. And unfortunately, she closed her eyes. And Thursday that week, they said they were going to have to switch off the machine. It was the machine that was keeping her alive. So she lost her battle.
And I can see how distressed you are, because you lost your mum and your wife within days of each other. And that must have been so hard to keep your family together, particularly for your son, Peter.
Yeah. I think for Peter, Peter's first experience of death was seeing my mum, you know. And that was just a week before he'd seen his mum. And it's surreal. It's, you know, I said to people that Mum had been there for us all her life, and Mary should have been with us the rest of her life. And it's just very odd, because both Peter and I were experiencing first of everything together, you know, our first Christmas without our two mums, our birthdays, Mother's Day. These have all been such tough, tough times, but Peter's been such a good boy. I have to admit, he's just a reflection of his mummy.
And Peter is sitting here, and I don't want to upset you, Peter, okay? But and I know that you find it upsetting, but you've heard your daddy talking so well about your mummy and about how giving and selfless she was. What memories do you have of your mummy?
I remember whenever she used to come up to me, she used to say prayers with me in the morning and help make my breakfast and help do all the clothes and... and said a prayer with me at night as well.
And she sounds like she was a fantastic mummy.
Mm-hmm, she was, yeah.
And I suppose your daddy has been great strength for you, has he?
Yeah, he has. And part of him, because of all the running he's been doing, and I don't know how he sticks it.
Because he's been running to try and raise money for your mummy's charity that he set up in her name.
Yeah, he has, and I'm very proud of him for that.
Mm-hmm. And Peter has mentioned your running, which is why I'm sort of here today, because we heard about your running. Mm-hmm. And rather than the experiences you have been through, losing your mum and your wife so close to each other, many a family would have crumbled. Mm-hmm. But you haven't crumbled. You've taken a great deal of strength. And what have you been doing? It's remarkable what you've been doing.
Thanks, Nicolette. Just after Mary had died, I had thought of just what can I do that we can look at maybe getting something positive out of Mary's passing, because that's how Mary would have dealt with this. And having time to think and reflect, and just looked at how Mary's life had been, particularly for the last 5 years. I likened it to she had done a marathon every day. And it was a marathon with no end, but it was a marathon she completed with such grace and dignity. And she always finished it without complaint.
You've been running a marathon nearly every week, is it? Have you done 19 marathons
I've now completed 20 marathons in 20 weeks, so I'm doing a marathon a week for 52 weeks.
You're running a marathon a week?
Yeah.
That must be so immense on your body and what you have to go through every week to do a marathon. And where do you go to do these marathons?
Initially, I had just gone up. There's a group of people that I've been running with for a number of years, and I had told them over Christmas that I had planned to do a marathon a week, and they thought, you're crazy. But they did say, look, if you do, we'll support you in whatever way we can. And true to their word, the first morning I set off from home here in Breckenville, and I headed and I ran to Carrickmore and home again. And along the way, I had a number of my friends with me that ran part of the way up with me and part of the way down with me. And ever since that, it has gained momentum from the point of view that for the first 5-6 weeks, I was just posting on Facebook that I was going to do a run in a certain area, and that if anybody wanted to come along and join in, they're more than welcome to do so. And to the point that it has now almost become like a social occasion. If you look at the Facebook page, it looks that way. But we're combining official marathons with runs locally that we're just organising ourselves, and as I said, people are coming along and joining in.
So when's your next marathon?
Next marathon is I'm in Uri on the 24th of May, which coincides with my birthday. And the following week, I'm doing the Walled City Marathon up in Derry, and that's on the 31st. So for the next 5-6 weeks, they're all sort of planned events, culminating on the 13th of June. I'm doing a 100k run in Galway.
What do you think Mary would say to what you're doing at the minute if she was here?
Mary always loved the fact that you could get out to do a run. She might think, you know, a marathon a week might be a wee bit extreme. But having said that, she would have supported it 100%, because Mary was the sort of person that never said you shouldn't do something. She always said, do it if you can, do it, and never think about it, just go ahead and do it. And that's how she lived her life. So she probably is looking down thinking, you know, you're just right. Do it if you can, you know.
What has life been like since Mary died?
Nicola's been very tough. It's surreal because, you know, with Mum passing away just the week before, my head probably still hasn't got around to the fact that Mum's not there. So it's been very tough. There's grief can hit you just in so many different ways and in so many different places. She was very young. She was only 40 whenever she passed away. And, you know, you sort of look back and say, well, is there things that we could have done that we should have done? You know, and thankfully, I suppose, we have no regrets that way, but it's just because she was, like the way my mum would have said, my mum was 78 whenever she passed away, and mum would have said, look, I've had a good long life, relatively health was 100%, but, you know, looking at Mary and being diagnosed at such a young age with the tumours and how she battled her way through that and how positive she was throughout that whole illness, you know, that's given me strength today, you know, seeing how she done that. As I said earlier, every morning I stood back in awe of her, you know, that she was able to do what she'd done, you know. So going back to the marathons are nothing compared to what Mary did every day. They're nothing. I miss her badly. You know, didn't think life would turn out this way, but as I say, the way Mary looked at things was, this is God's way, so we have to accept that, and that's the way it is. So it's going to be a long journey.
Extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. Nicola Weir reporting there. I'm delighted to tell you Andrew finished his 21st marathon at the weekend in Uri. If you'd like to find out more information about the marathons Philip is running, maybe to join in, you can log on to All the W's dot Mary Anderson Foundation.org, or go to the Mary Anderson Foundation page on Facebook. And there's a special marathon happening in September. You can find more details on Mary Anderson ColourMarathon.com. Thanks for your company today. See you tomorrow.